I wish all of you a wonderful good evening. I seem to develop the desire to have three heads in the sitting position, two extra heads, one in the, for this, one for that part of the audience, and the third for this one. I hope I will be able to manifest that, but please don't faint when I have all of a sudden three heads and not one. Sometimes when you have desires in Krishna consciousness, they get fulfilled. So if this is fulfilled, please don't be scared of me. To be very serious, is this all at the right position also?
That mic is for downstairs.
Oh yeah. Hello downstairs. Yes, Shobha. I will call upon you to sing also in the evening. And should Vinda Devi make a dance, if that possible? Is she ready, or? Please, doctor. Sorry. Sorry, I'm a little joyful. When I come to New York, I always like to joke. It's a very, very great pleasure for me to be back in New York. It was a dream for me to visit you all, because I found out I have so many relationships here. I'm happy to see Priya, and a little bit back, Michael, who always bring me into another century, into another world, when we visit the metro and go to some sections. Very happy, but something is not yet right with the technique. I agree with you all. Let's first fix that. The idea of a microphone, it needs to be close to the mouth. This much I've understood after 40 years. So how will you do this with this one? Now, this was the wrong move, Harinam. Sorry?
Just remove the stand and just hold the mic. Is it possible?
Yeah, it's possible, but it looks like an idiot. We will do this. Please, sit down, everyone. I know what I'm doing. What?
Just need to move the little mic on there. Further up.
Yes, today we have been gathered together to celebrate for a second time Radhashtami. Radhashtami is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, who is the... My spiritual master said she is the compassionate counterpart, the female counterpart of Krishna. When I was in Brooklyn and gave a lecture in the temple, I said that often Godfather showers a conditional form of love upon us. In other words, he wants to see that we are fulfilling certain qualities, or better, certain qualification, before he gives his mercy. But Srimati Radharani, the female counterpart of Krishna, is known for offering an unconditional type of mercy, a mercy which doesn't demand, or a showering of mercy which does not demand any qualifications. And I gave a well-known story as an illustration to this in my little lecture. I reminded my audience of all these, let me say, unthinkable forms in which an individual has obtained the mercy of God through Srimati Radharani, his merciful counterpart. And I told them of a jackal who was not liked by anyone, but who somehow got the good fortune to be near Radhakund, a sacred pond or a sacred lake of Radharani. And there in Radhakund, by the touch of Srimati Radharani, he was becoming a very exalted soul. So on this day, Radhastami, a day which is related to Srimati Radharani's appearance, we all want to catch that unconditioned mercy. We feel it's like our good chance, our happy day, that although we may lack in qualifications, still by the inconceivable divine nature of Radha, it's possible to make advancement. So this is a little bit what we said in Brooklyn. So because we are the Hare Krishnas and not always very orderly, you can see this if you inspect our rooms very carefully, like I had the chance to do with one room today, then we don't celebrate just on one day. We celebrate on different days. And therefore, today for us is a second celebration day, out of order, so to say, but no harm, because we really want to go for the mercy. So I will talk a little bit about it and sing a little bit about it. I'm a little bit concerned about my young members of my audience. When you see Hare Krishna, he is my old member of the audience, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Welcome, Maharaj. It's so nice to see you. What do we do with you? When you are Hare Krishna. Wouldn't it be nicer if you sit here and also say a little bit about Radha? I can say something at the beginning. I think you would give the greatest joy to all of us if you, well, you should sit on my shoulders. I not there on the low. Maybe with me, then if you feel inspired, if you like, say a few concluding words. You, sorry? Yeah, or opening or middle words? Thank you very much, Maharaj. How do you? Thank you for coming. He is good. Can you see? Is this shiny? It is possible? After. Hare Krishna. I think you all know His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. No words of introduction are needed, but I would say one sentence: he is my friend. I really, before starting to say, would like to say that there are neighbors, there are colleagues, there are teachers, there are associates, school comrades, and so on. And then there are friends. They are in a special category. They are different from all these other relationships. See, a neighbor stops being a neighbor when you move. A school colleague stops being a school colleague when you get out of school. And sometimes also a Hare Krishna member stops being close to another Hare Krishna member when they develop differently. In other words, many relationships have an underlying utility principle, and when that utility principle is no longer there, or this, then the relationship stops. But true friends will always be friends, even when their circumstances should change. And I believe true friends are something like a security in this world, and we are approaching this realm of true friendship, and it gives us a lot of joy and stability in the heart, at least me. So I'm very happy when Maharaj is here, and I will try to speak in a way which he will also enjoy, or which will also give pleasure to his heart. But before I start, I have to say, I cannot speak for young children. I'm not on the level of intelligence which is required to capture their attention fully. So if you feel how that your child gets restless and begins to loudly exclaim his dissatisfaction with my lecture, then kindly take him to another place, and then I will try afterwards to speak in a way he will also enjoy, to him privately, I promise, but please take him to another place. Good.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
in spiritual life in general, and in Krishna consciousness in particular. A devotee always wants to go through someone else to reach the door of Krishna. For instance, we always pay our obeisances to our spiritual master before we pay our obeisances to Krishna. This going to through someone else to come to God is a very important theme in our spirituality. We feel alone we are incompetent and highly limited, but if we obtain blessings from someone who is close to Krishna, then our ship will move forward. The wind of blessing is more important than the hard endeavors which come out of our own abilities. We feel very much that blessings carry us much further along our way in spiritual life than our own strengths. And an example has been given in our scripture. The monkey way as opposed to the cat way. Now I think you are New Yorkers and you have not so many monkeys, at least in monkey forms. Genuine monkeys. And cats are also only coming out in the night because they are afraid, maybe. And so the monkey way is not known to you, and the cat way also not. The monkey way expresses one's own endeavor, and the cat way the path of mercy or the path of blessings. Why so? Well, the way monkeys or monkey mothers carry their young ones is like this. The young one has to use all his little strengths and the little arms to capture the fur of the monkey mother, and then the monkey mother, as we say in German language, gives gas. You know, she puts, she steps on the accelerator and starts to run through the forest. This is the monkey way, and there are many accidents on this monkey and the monkey way. The small little baby has only limited strength and took to hold fast to this galloping monkey mother is often beset with serious troubles. In other words, the baby monkeys fall on the ground. I have personally seen in Vrindavan many baby monkeys landing before my feet because of the high speed of their inconsiderate mothers, you know, who... It's not so safe, the monkey way, when you have to rely on your own limited strengths. The cat way of carrying the children is more safe because here the strong mother grabs the fur and the neck of the child and carries him. Even if the mother for some reason should step on the accelerator, that is, speed up, no problem, because she is strong. She has strong jaws, strong carrying for, is a strong carrier, and the baby will never slip out of the mother, of the, will never slip out of the mouth of the mother, because she's safe there. So, in spiritual life, there's a lot of discussion about these two ways, the way of one's own endeavor and the way of mercy. And it has always, at least in our tradition, been concluded that the way of mercy, the way of blessing, is more safe. Why? Because you are not dependent on your own strengths, which may be limited in so many ways, especially limited when it concerns the great adventure that is to make contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to come into His vicinity, His closeness. So the blessings of the teacher is or the spiritual master is always thought after, because he is close to Krishna. He has successfully gone this path, and by his interference into our spiritual life, in his interfering blessings, and I'm using this word very consciously, interfering, it means it comes from somewhere else into our life, it interferes with our limited ways, and this mercy can carry us in ways which we alone would never be able to go. Now, of all the personalities who can give us mercy, the most intimate associate of Krishna is adored very, very much. This most intimate associate of Krishna, whose mercy is thought after in our tradition, is Srimati Radharani. And today, where we celebrate again her appearance day with a small and modest celebration, I would like to read to you from a lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave on Radha's appearance day. Approach Krishna through Radha. The aim of life is to satisfy Lord Krishna, and He is pleased through Radharani. Therefore, we don't keep Krishna alone. No. We keep Radha Krishna. First, you have to worship Radha Rani. So her appearance day, Radhastami, is today. Well, it was in Brooklyn the day before yesterday. In the Omega Center, we celebrated it yesterday, because in Vrindavan, yesterday was Radhastami. And here in Manhattan, where everything is a little bit Manhattan-like, we celebrate today by remembering or reminding us of Radharani. So in Vrindavan, Prabhupada continues, you will see the devotees greeting one another by saying, Jai Radhe!
Jai Radhe!
Our guests, please don't be shocked if you hear how enthusiastic we say this. It is the natural enthusiasm springs from the heart. This is a very good slogan. Jai Radhe!
Jai Radhe!
Because the devotees know that Radharani is the original pleasure potency. She is always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Anyone who comes before Krishna, no, wrong. Anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, Radha becomes so pleased. And I can hear my spiritual master, who was a great devotee, or is a great devotee of Radharani, saying, oh, anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, I can hear his enthusiasm. She becomes so pleased. oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends that person. Krishna, he is a devotee. He's better than me. This is Radharani. And now I can hear my spiritual master's voice. I have heard this lecture many times. Now his voice becomes in his lecture very tender. You can almost hear by hearing his voice how tears well up in his eyes. He says, I may not be a devotee. I may be a most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. Then he gives now an example how to worship Radharani before Krishna. On our altar, you will see Radha and Krishna, and the priest is, I think, three times daily going to this altar to offer a flower. But see how he offers the flowers. Instead of directly offering a flower to Krishna, put it in the hands of Radharani and say, my mother Radharani, Jagan Mata, please kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. This is what it means to approach Krishna through Radha. Radharani says, you know, to the priest or to anyone who wants to do this process, oh, you have brought a flower? Krishna said, if one offers me with devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Yes, but don't try to offer to Krishna directly. Offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by her. This is our philosophy. To please Krishna through Radharani. And as today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance, we should offer flowers and pray, Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. Today is an auspicious day. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy. So as a heavy day to remember Radharani, because in Radharani's mercy is our treasure. In Radharani's mercy is our chance. And I will say it now to the kitchen department. In Radharani's mercy is your chance. This is the kitchen microphone. Everyone should hear this. It's a happy day. Prabhupada expressed it like this: my dear brothers and sisters, your good fortune will dawn upon you when Radharani is pleased. Now, my dear devotees, my dear friends, and also maybe we have a few skeptics amongst us. Let me explain to you in very easy New York language how this profound spiritual subject can be approached and how we can understand. You must know that bhakti or Krishna consciousness is a matter of love. It has to do with love. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you can test yourself very easily whether or not you are successful. When you feel in your heart more love for Krishna, you make advancement. When you feel less love and more anger and frustration, you know something is wrong, has happened, is wrong on the road to paradise. Some problem has appeared in your mentality. Yeah, in spiritual life we have to be careful. We have to be careful of stress. We have to be careful of too much exhaustion, because at that time sometimes inborn frustration comes out and wipes out the love in our heart. It's very, very important to check how we are internally developing feelings of gratitude for our service, how we are developing feelings of ecstatic tears of happiness performing our service. We should never come into the realm where frustration overwhelms us and stress and anger develops, the opposite of love. That is not good for our spiritual advancement. Now, this is a movement where love is cultivated to higher and higher degrees, until ultimately we become so much filled with love that there is no other emotion in our heart than just love. The world will call us at that time a madman, a divine madman. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the founder of our movement. Oh, he was a philosopher. Oh, he could discuss with the highest scholars, but his essence was chanting and dancing, crying, shivering with symptoms of love. That was he, and the world called him a divine madman. There's bad madness, that is some psychological derangement, that madness is unwanted, and there is the madness of love, and that is very much wanted. Madness of love, very much wanted. When you have that type of let us say another word, absorption, that may be a more socially acceptable word, when you have that type of absorption and love which pushes everything unwanted out of your heart, then you know, now where I'm starting to be absorbed in love, my path gets clear. So now, okay, Krishna consciousness is something to do with the kingdom of divine love, and we want to reach there, we want to enter there through the road of service. That means when we do our service, it is very important that we do it out of either love or the beginning states of love. Love is a big, big thing, but there are beginning states where we can start. Gratitude is very good. Our Radhanath Maharaj said in his well-received lecture, very well-spoken lecture, something about gratitude. But because I was jet-lagged, I forgot what he said about gratitude. But wait a minute, I have a lecture here in my lecture book. I'm taking usually notes of his lectures because they are so good. And he said, yes, he said, listen to this, gratitude is the condition of the heart which allows spiritual growth to take place. Do you want to hear it again?
Yes.
Because it's so profound. Gratitude is the condition of the heart which allows spiritual growth to take place. because it's so profound, we need to hear it a third time. Gratitude, listen carefully, is the condition of the heart. Condition means an internal milieu, no? Milieu, which allows spiritual growth to take place. And then I wrote in my own, and attract more mercy, but that's my own addition to it. So gratitude is something which can catapult you forward on your spiritual path. It can energize your spiritual practice with enough strength so that you can grow over your limitations. Growth is very important for all of us. Gratitude is the beginning stages of love. When you go more and more this road of gratitude, you enter the kingdom of love. That will be when your eyes are flooded with the tears of gratitude. Oh Krishna, oh Radha, so much mercy has come my way from you. I wanted to explain this difficult subject. See, to enter the kingdom of love, you have to have a love visa on your in your heart. Yeah. You need to, there needs to be a stamp. This is a lover. This stamp you need to obtain. Very important. This you will be checked. Is he a lover or not? And only if you are a lover will you be allowed to be entered into the kingdom of love. When I came to your country, I was checked very carefully. All my fingerprints were extremely checked. I developed a minority complex. I said, is everything all right with my fingerprints? He said, the routine check, the routine check. In Germany, only the worstest of criminals are checked with a fingerprint. So it's always a culture shock to come to the border to America. Yes, so you must become a lover to enter the kingdom of love. This is highly required. You cannot avoid this qualification. And to come to this level, you start with gratitude usually, from where then your internal growth into the atmosphere of profound love can take place. Now, I want to now tell you a little pastime of Krishna, which will give pleasure to your heart, a pastime from where you can see how much love is there in the kingdom of God. And in this little pastime which you will hear, you will also begin to understand how you can come into this kingdom of love. See, in Vrindavan, that is the spiritual world, the kingdom of love, Radha wants to always meet with Krishna. This is a central theme, and they meet at different places. So the story which you are about to hear, the Leela, is when Radharani had an appointment with Krishna in a kunja at the banks of the Jamuna. What is a kunja? Kunja is something like a forest house. You can describe it like this. It's grown from trees and little vines.
Wonderful.
It's like a little enclosure made from trees and vines and various flowers. There are pictures in it. It is a very beautiful, like flower house, you could say in American English. So Krishna had come a little earlier and waited for Srimati Radharani to arrive. And Srimati Radharani came. There was a full moon night. The moon was reflecting in the toenails of Srimati Radharani, and a wonderful silvery light was spreading through the forest. Srimati Radharani's feet were decorated with wonderful tinkling anchor bells, and she was going in what is called an abhisara, a lover's journey to meet the other lover, or the beloved's journey to meet the lover. All of us eventually will be on an abhisar. I think some of you have started your loving journey already, a journey which is invigorated and empowered by the yearning of your heart. Ooh, so much longing to meet the beloved. So Radharani was coming through the forest path, moving very graciously. She's known as the Queen of Vrindavan. She's dressed in a blue sari, fully decorated with flower ornaments, and her longing to Krishna. So as she came close to the appointed meeting place, she said to one of her little girl companions, I wonder if Krishna is already there, and if Krishna also longs so much to meet me as I long to meet him. So I would love to hear him speak a little bit about me in my absence. Do you sometimes wish to hear what your friend says about you in your absence? if friends would know what their friends sometimes say when they are not present, their friendship would be highly endangered. So Srimati Radharani was not exactly asking like this, but Krishna is Krishna. He does sometimes things which are very out of the expectation. He's very playful, very joyful, very creative. So Radha decided, let me stay outside of the appointed meeting place. And since flower houses don't have very firm walls, you can hear through the flower walls, she was eavesdropping. I think we say eavesdropping. Eavesdropping we say even. Huh. Eavesdropping is also nice. So she was eavesdropping. She sent some of her girl companions, and the little sakis came in to the Kunja and said, and Krishna said, oh, you are here, that means your mistress Radha is also here. And the little girl said, no Krishna, today she can't come, she's delayed, her mother-in-law Yatila won't allow her to leave the house today, you have to stay alone. So because Krishna is Krishna and cannot easily be deceived, he smelled the wonderful, wonderful fragrance which was emanating from Srimati Radharani and her own flower decorations. And he smelled that fragrance and said, No, you're trying to cheat me. Radha is very near here. she might be eavesdropping. So Radha was outside thinking, oh no, he has detected me. But then her clever sakis, this girl said, no, you don't know the value of proper association. We are always so close to Radharani that her fragrance is on our bodies. Because of our association, we smell. We have this divine fragrance which we carry around us, but she is far away. So then Krishna was becoming dejected. Krishna went into a lover's mood of separation and said, oh, dear Sakis, is there a way for me to meet Radharani? So the little gopis said, very clever, yes, it is said in scripture, if you chant the names, the holy names of Radha and Krishna, you will for sure meet them. So you just chant the name of Radha. So Krishna started to sing like we do, kirtan, a glorification of Radha. He chanted many names of Radharani. Finally, after long time singing, he just went, Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Si Radhe,
Radhe, Radhe, Radhe, Jai 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 Si Radhe,
Radhe, Radhe, Radhe, Jai 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 Si Radhe,
Radhe, Radhe, Radhe, Jai 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 Si Radhe.
For a long, long time, long, long time. But Radharani did not come. She chose to watch Krishna a little bit more and see how much the longing of Krishna's heart was for her. And so after some time Krishna stopped his kirtan and said, it didn't work. Radharani did not come. Do you also feel sometimes like this? That you chant Hare Krishna and no Krishna, no Radha? You feel like this? You're too shy? Your answer? Don't we sometimes feel, Kustuba? You are an author now. You're brutally honest in your book. Don't we sometimes feel, I'm trying so hard to chant these holy names and my heart is just like a desert. It was in the beginning, it is now, and who knows, maybe at the end it will also be like that. So Krishna said, Radha has not come, your process doesn't work. Now Radharani became very curious, what will her sakis say now? And then the sakis asked, O Shyama Sunda, that's the name of Krishna, you must have chanted with offenses. That's why the power of the chanting didn't work. And Radharani was just smiling about the cleverness of her personal associates. You know, as you listen to this, please always remember, this is God, and his most dearest servants and associates, and because there's so much love between them, so much absolute love, they talk very, very casual or almost ordinary, because when there is love, there is closeness there, and the closeness wants to express itself in very personal talk. So Krishna was dejected. Then the
Saki said, perhaps you were with Chandravali. That was your offense. Your devotion is not exclusive to Radha. So then Krishna said, but what? I have to deal with all my devotees. I have to respond to the prayers of all my devotees. I can't just be so single-mindedly as my devotees are. My devotees are only directing their minds to me, but I have to, I have to direct my mind to all my devotees. So please don't say my intelligence and devotion is many-branched. I have to do it like this. Is there some way for me? Said Krishna. Yes, said the gopis. When one chants with offenses, like you have done, there's only one thing you can do, that is loud kirtan, loud kirtan, loud singing, loud singing. So then, and dancing. Then Krishna started to dance and chant in a very loud way, and as Krishna with tears of love chanted the names of Srimati Radharani, Radharani could not keep herself in hiding any longer, but in a dancing way she came dancing into the flower kunj, and as Krishna saw his beloved Radharani entering this flower kunj dancing so graciously, he increased his step. He took his flute out, and the divine couple danced in at utmost joy. Jai Sri Radhe. Yes, this is one of the many, many pastimes in the kingdom of love. So lovingly, so much affection, so much joyfulness, so much playfulness. That is our goal. That is, and we reach that goal in the same way as Krishna reached his the Milan, or the meeting with his beloved Radharani, through loud singing and dancing in association. No, Krishna danced with the, or chanted with the gopis. It's in association. A few days ago, we celebrated in Germany, Central Germany, a Kirtan Mela for 6 and a half days actually. We sang each day for 12 hours. That's why the voice is what it is at the moment. Yes, and it was a great breakthrough experience for many devotees. Many devotees reported afterwards that they had very divine realizations. There were also two Qigong masters. Qigong is Qi, with the Tai Chi, who when they speak, they have an audience of 2,000 people, always. They came to this Kirtan Mela and sat in the back, and afterwards one of them came to me and said, what have you done with, what have you devotees done with us? We sang also, all of a sudden we saw Krishna, they're Chinese people, and we saw from Krishna light, volumes of light coming and bathing the devotees and all of us. This is much better than Qi. And they are in the process of becoming devotees. They're very, very, they were convinced. Yes, and at the end of the Kirtan Mela, I met my godbrother, His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj. He is also very dear to Radhanath Maharaj. He was very good, very, very wonderful devotee. And he told me something which I find just so wonderful and so encouraging that I want to share this with you. We were in his little room. It was a wooden bungalow under some good trees. And he said that a little while ago he had met another of our god brother, Guru Gauranga Prabhu. Guru Gauranga Prabhu. Guru Gauranga Prabhu had been in Switzerland, in Geneva. And there he had arranged for Prabhupada's visit. Prabhupada had visited and he had somehow tried to twist the arms, Guru Gauranga, of the most influential people in Geneva to see Prabhupada. He wanted to bring very influential people to Srila Prabhupada. So he had tried for a long time to convince the mayor of Geneva to come to Srila Prabhupada and ask him questions so that Prabhupada could bring his message to this mayor and the mayor could maybe spread parts of the message in Geneva. That was Guru Gauranga's idea. So finally, because Guru Gauranga is very intelligent and kind-hearted, the mayor said, okay, if you want it, I go and see your spiritual master. You want it so much. So he had come and Prabhupada received him and asked, so do you have any questions? Guru Gauranga started to tremble. And the mayor just said matter-of-factly, no. You know, he had been convinced more or less against his will to come, and there was nothing in his heart, no interest in his heart. The Guru Gauranga went like, oh no, now I'm bringing someone who just wastes my spiritual master's precious time. Prabhupada said, but Prabhupada was not disturbed. He just took his harmonium and he started to sing. And he became very absorbed in the singing. And it lasted for half an hour or an hour. The mayor was sitting there and Prabhupada was singing on the harmonium to the mayor. Imagine a high dignitary comes to you. We have Tsipi here, the mother of Hari Prasad, and the father as well. Imagine the dean of your university comes and you ask him, do you have any questions? And he says, no, I just... And then you hold, get your... And then you sing for him for 1 hour. It's a very interesting situation, I think. Hari Bol. So Prabhupada was like this, very authentic, you know. And then after what seemed to be an eternity for the mayor, he stopped and he very, very innocently looked at the mayor and he said, this is what we do. This is what we do. That's all. And really, this is what we do in the Hare Krishna movement. We try to please Krishna. We try to please Radha Krishna, actually, through our devotional singing, in which we try to put our hearts. And this is the way to reach the Supreme. Even Krishna sings in kirtan when he wants to meet Srimati Radharani, and this is what we do. But do you know one thing? All this, and I mean now this process of bhakti, needs to be touched by you, the practitioner, with a certain inner orientation. You're singing, you're meditating about Krishna, you're offering on the altar. All what you do needs to be touched with a particular inner mood. And this is a loving eagerness which springs from a faithful heart. Only when your devotional activities are touched by this loving eagerness, this yearning for the not yet attained mercy, this yearning for the not yet attained Lord, then your practice springs to life. Your practice does not spring to life when it is done in a mechanic way, in a mindless way, in a way which is not connected to your heart or the sacred space in your heart. It's very important, if we want to enter the kingdom of love, we have to connect our activities which we do with that loving eagerness to serve and please. That is very, very important. When does this eagerness, this loving eagerness come? It comes only when you feel some hunger, some intense desire. And this intense desire will only come to you, and here I want to repeat the part which I of my lecture in Brooklyn. It comes to you when you are willing to face an inner dissatisfaction with the world and the ways of the world. Or let me call it in a even more, let me say, existential way, let me call it an inner emptiness. When you feel so satisfied in this world, and you always divert your attention from this inner emptiness, you will not be able to proceed, and you will not be able to touch these simple, this, for instance, your singing to Krishna, your kirtan, or your other processes of bhakti, with that transformative energy, that eagerness which makes it, which makes everything work. See, who can cry? Who can desire? He who feels a need, an existential need. We all who have left the fullness of the kingdom of God and come to this material world, we all suffer really from an unacknowledged emptiness. I'm saying unacknowledged because we are not aware that it is this emptiness which informs all our endeavors. We have a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, and that is an emptiness. But because we don't dare to face that, we divert ourselves constantly. New York is a constant diversion. I hear it's day and night. You can hear entertainment, TV, iPod noise. I'm not so good in technical things, forgive me. This show, that show, this movie, this diversion. An unacknowledged emptiness. We try to unconsciously fill our voidness in the heart by material things, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It does not work because we are not satisfied. We always have to go for newer and newer and newer things. So when you acknowledge, yes, I'm a fallen soul, yes, I'm not a member of the kingdom of God, I have a problem. From this emptiness, fullness can come. Because then you can yearn, then you can long, then you stop being a slave of false desires, and the desire that contact, that real contact. Stop filling the emptiness with diversions because you can't tolerate it. Wake up to the fact that your problems have come because you turned away from the kingdom of God and you fill your heart with so many unnecessary diversions. You know, in our day, in our life, I want to give this example, we sometimes fast. For instance, Jamashtami we fasted, and you know, at the end of the day we are extremely hungry because we have digested everything, you know, with volcanic fires of digestion. We have digested everything and we feel empty now. And then we are very hungry, and when finally Jamashtami comes, the feast comes, that's after 12 o'clock in the night, you see everyone is awake and up. No one sleeps. Normally we go early to bed, but on that day, no chance. Because we feel we have an acknowledged emptiness, not unacknowledged emptiness, an acknowledged emptiness. We know, I'm so empty in my stomach, this is a problem. I stay up when they serve food. And, you know, no one has to convince any member, even the most neophyte member is up, because he has an acknowledged emptiness, and he now can eat sufficient amounts of tasty prasadam, tasty food. So when you can face the fact that without love of Krishna your life is useless, then who, you have hunger and desire to fill it, and as a result you will be eager to make advancement, and that eagerness will sugarcoat all your spiritual activities and attract Lord Krishna's mercy and Radha's mercy very easily. I wanted to say this. I said it in Brooklyn, and I want to say it today, and in my next chance to speak to all of you, I will say it again, because it's so important. If everything which I say in this visit in New York gets forgotten, I don't mind. But take this one point with you. We will not get it, that's how the New Yorkers say it, we will not really taste the beauty of Krishna consciousness if we do not become eager for this mercy. And this eagerness will come really when we become clear in our lives that our highest need, our real need, which informs everything else, is really the need for the kingdom of love. You know what the two needs are in every human being? Which, when they are fulfilled, they leave no other need. It's to love and to be loved. To love and to be loved is the two needs which every human being has. When they are fulfilled, okay, it's done, we are satisfied. When they're not fulfilled, you can have everything in the world and you are still missing out. So to be loved by Krishna is always a fact, and to love Krishna, these two things give the highest degree of ecstatic love which we all want and which we all need. Hare Krishna, could I reach you? when we celebrate a day like this, Radhashtami, when we think of Radha, it's very important that we personalize these high philosophical concepts and import them into our thought system, our needs, our lives, and then understand the essential principles from these high, lofty subjects. And Radha Krishna, that is a relationship of the highest divine love, and our singing of the holy names, we all want to enter that kingdom of love. We say, my dear Radharani, my dear Krishna, I am embarrassed by this service I do to, in the material world, serving my senses and all. Please again accept me in your service. This simple prayer, this simple request to be again allowed to even approach from the distance the kingdom of love, of this divine love, that is what we celebrate on this appearance day, Radharani, the best of Krishna's devotee, the dearest one, the Shakti expansion of Krishna, the queen of Vrindavan, who is Karunamayi Radhe, full of compassion to the fallen souls. Do you know what the father of my spiritual master asked every sadhu who passed by and visited the house? He said to the sadhu, the itinerant monk who came by, please bless my son, my abbe, that he becomes a devotee of Radharani. We are very much connected with Radharani in our life. So much more to say, but so little time. And I really request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to say a few words. And then now I thought maybe we can ask the Mayapuris who are here to do one kirtan, just to encourage them to be. Is that good? Yeah? And then we will have a special, special extra guest. Vishwamba is here. And then somewhere, yeah? Yeah, we have an extra guest. They are called the Mayapuris. They will sing and have a special surprise. Please stay there. Special surprise must be. Come after Radhanath Maharaj has addressed us. No. Usually you have to pay $1,000 entrance to see them, and today it's for free. Radharani ki
jai!
His name is Radhanath Swami. Please adjust the microphone.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vasatyare Satarine.
Jagavatubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Medieval. We are very grateful to His Holiness Sachinanand Swami Maharaj for his genuine expression of compassion, devotion toward Sri Radharani, toward us. Compassion toward us, devotion toward Sri. Thank you, Maharaj. It's a very rare and special fortune for the United States of America whenever you place your holy footprints upon it. And your thumbprints also upon it. Maharaj was telling at the end of his beautiful narration the importance of internalizing the knowledge we receive. In this regard, just the day before yesterday, on Radhastami Day, I got a very special email message from a mother. Many of you know her, Radha Sundari. She has a child that is, I believe, not yet 3 years old. It's about this big. His name is Braj Mohan. She wrote that in preparation for Radhastami, she was reading stories of Sri Radharani and Krishna's Leelas to him before taking rest each night. And she read this one story, very similar to the story that you told. When Krishna was at Kokilavan waiting for Sri Radha, the feminine aspect of the divine, the pleasure potency, the supreme lover, to come to meet him. But she didn't come. And how Krishna was crying out her names, and how his heart was blazing with the fire of loving separation from Sri Radha. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, because it will take too long. But after hearing this, little Braj Mohan went to sleep. And his mother heard him sniffling and making these mournful sounds. He's less than 3 years old. His mother went to him and said, "Are you sick? What's wrong?" And he started to cry. Tears came from his little tiny eyes. And he said, "Krishna's suffering so much because Radharani's not coming." He spoke in a pathetic emotion. Krishna's suffering because Radharani's not coming. How could I sleep? How could I be happy? if Krishna is suffering because Radharani is not with him, he was beside himself. She wanted to pacify him, so she started talking nice philosophy to him, saying, actually, Radha and Krishna are always together, they're never separated. This is only Leela, and they're feeling this way, but they're always together, they're one. And he was just, but Krishna's suffering, he's crying because Radharani's. And she kind of pacified him, but she writes in her letter, she was thinking after that, that she's heard these stories so many times, and she was reading this story to her child, and it was just a beautiful little story, but she wasn't feeling it. She was knowing it, learning it, knowing it, repeating it, but her little 2.5-year-old child, he was in the story. He was feeling the pastimes of the Lord. That was one of the greatest lessons she ever learned in bhakti. And by reading that little email, it was one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti is a transformation of the heart. Love. Love is the awakening of the true divine potential of the soul. And all knowledge, Bahunam janmanamante jnanabhamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatmasutra. It culminates when that awakening of love, when that awakening of surrender comes from the heart. And yes, when we hear, we shouldn't just learn. We shouldn't just memorize so that we could repeat. True bhakti is when we internalize these beautiful stories of this beautiful philosophy of devotion and feel it, emulate it. Little Braj Mohan was crying for Krishna as Krishna was crying for Radha. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha and Krishna came in one form of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, as Krishna, wanted to taste the sweetness of Radha's love. And to distribute that love to the whole world. Especially through this path of bhakti and the Nam Sankirtan. Congregational chanting of the holy name. For many years, Lord Chaitanya was freely giving prema bhakti to everyone and anyone, to Jagai and Madhai, to Brahmins, to lepers, to elephants and tigers and serpents. He was giving love of God to everyone. But the last years of his life, he was very internal in the Gambira in Puri, where he was showing the world the most intense manifestations of spiritual love, feeling the love of Radha in separation from Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita culminates with stories of a level of ecstasy that has never been manifested ever in the world. And in that state, from the heart of Sri Chaitanya, Radharani's deepest ecstasy of love and compassion manifested in the 8 verses of Shikshastakam. The only thing that we have anywhere in the world that Lord Chaitanya personally wrote with his own hands. And how it was written is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. in Radha's most intimate feelings of spiritual love for Krishna, these verses came out from his heart to the world to reveal to us how to access that grace, how to actually feel Krishna, feel compassion. Shikshastakam is perhaps the most sacred piece of literature in Brahma's creation. And if we understand how it came about, where it came from, and how our beloved Srila Prabhupada, not only did he give us Shikshastakam, he gave us all these great scriptures of bhakti, but he gave us a lifestyle by which we could realize it. Little Braj Mohan is not so philosophical or intellectual. But from some previous birth and from the association his mother and father have given him, he's revealing the very essence to all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.